I come to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems.
Home improvement problems, that is.
And for people who want common sense guidance on how to build green and live a more sustainable lifestyle. If you have a home improvement hang-up, help is on the way. You can send an email or call into the show. The Mighty House crew is now on the job. This is
Mighty House.
I am Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is back. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. You can find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you, too, can give us a call at 773-763-9278. All right. The Small Business Advocacy Council, the SBAC, is a nonpartisan, member-driven organization that promotes the success of small business through political advocacy, networking, support services, and educational programs. The SBAC is dedicated to improving economic conditions for small to mid-sized businesses and being a voice for small business. For more information, you can visit them at sbacil.org.
And they're nice people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice people to do business with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they have a great golf outing coming up, too. So.
They do. Yeah. Yes.
That'll be coming up shortly. So Robbie's going to be out there riding around. I think she's going to be Elliot's, like, driver, you know, chauffeur.
Elliot needs a driver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's going to be out there running around the golf course with Elliot. So that'll be good. All right, let's go to the phone. Ooh, look at this. Let's go to our field reporter.
Oh, yes.
Snook.
Ian.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, you're live out at Muckfest. What's going on out there?
Yes, I'll tell you, your timing is impeccable because I'm following your partner in crime, Robbie, as we speak.
No.
She already looks, yeah, we've only gone about 100 yards. She's looking a little tired. I've noticed she's not smiling as much as I had initially anticipated. Oh, hang on, she's smiling now.
Uh-huh. Are you number one?
No hug. No hug. She insists on trying to hug me, Ron. She's very dirty.
Are you number one yet?
The muckiness is thoroughly mucky.
Really? And you guys have rain going on out there, too, right?
We did, yeah. I took the motorcycle and wound up with a nice little drizzle like I had predicted, a month ago?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Right? I told her. And, no, they're thoroughly muddy. We've got a lot of people out here. And the course is far more difficult than I thought it would be.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I brought the wrong motorcycle. I need my motocross bike. They just went through the whoop section.
Okay.
And some of these hills, which, you know, I'm sure you guys will post on YouTube. I mean, you literally have to, you can't walk up them. You have to crawl up them on your hands and knees and over the other side.
Really?
Ian, if Robbie face plants, can you please get a photo?
He's got to be able to periscope it.
She's already face planted probably a dozen times, so we got plenty of that.
So are you taking pictures for us at least?
I am. I've got some video and I've got some pictures.
Excellent.
And, they're down in the long section now. They run, so they go through an obstacle course. Then they've got quite a long run, kind of through the prairie,
uh-huh.
And then they'll come back and they'll finish through another obstacle course.
And how long does the whole thing take?
You know, I don't know. I'd have to predict probably 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Well, it depends how long she stops for her nap.
Right.
Well, she was trying to stop for a nap after the second whoop. The first one, she made it over that one. It was about four consecutive ones. Then it drops into a bunch of these big inflated balls that knock you into a pit of water and mud.
Well, this afternoon they're using the same course for American Ninja Warrior, so.
Oh, okay. Well, so I noticed that, you know, as every hill came over, she momentum slowed every hill. Just a little less inertia coming over the other side.
Well, she's with a large group. Aren't they pulling her along, pushing her, giving her a hand up over?
Well, that's fortunately for her, she's in the middle. So you're right. So it's kill or be killed. So the crowd will just be mow you down. Fest. They will mow you down like cattle because they can't see anything. They can't get any Listen, the best traction you're going to get is on another person. That's where you get your traction. You start in the back and you use all the people in front of you for traction.
Right.
It's like the zombie apocalypse.
Right. You just start making a necklace of ears. Yeah.
That would be my game plan, and I would recommend for any future partakers of this event to wear either crampons or good golf spikes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so you're at the Muck Fest. You're at Lake County Fairgrounds. And that is... Well, they're doing an announcement out there, huh?
Yeah, we've got, they've got quite a speaker system on. There's a lot of participants here. And they'll have several runs, I guess. I'm not sure how many different groups they'll send out today. But it's actually a beautiful day out. It had a little light drizzle this morning, but it's 73, 74 degrees. And it's just a beautiful day to come out to the fairgrounds here.
Yep. That's 1060 East Peterson Road in Grays Lake if you're out there. So you'd be able to go out and give Robbie a hug when she gets done.
The first thing she did, Ron, was try to hug me. I ran from her, and I hid on around the other side of a skid of bottled water. And I finally came around. She promised she wouldn't do anything to me, and then she slapped me in the face with a big palm of mud. So I came clean, but I will, in fact, leave dirty despite the fact I'm not a participant.
Right. Well, and you know not to trust Robbie, right?
Well, she had that look in her eye, which, you know.
Yeah.
You knew what was coming.
Yeah, I knew it was coming, and I figured, well, I'll just capitulate to the inevitable.
Right. All right. Well, we're going to move on. We got some other phone calls to get to. We'll check back in with you a little bit later. Keep taking videos and some pictures for us.
We will. Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Ian.
Thanks, Ian.
Okay, bye now.
All right. There we go. Our man, he's live. Ian Snook out at the Lake County Fairgrounds, 1060 East Peterson. Stop out there. Robbie's running the Muck Fest out there, and he's our live Mighty House field reporter
today. He's our correspondent.
Yes.
Yeah.
See?
He's doing a great job.
And what'd you say this morning, Rich? Our payroll's jumping through the roof today?
Yes, it's going to be a strain on payroll
today. Got people everywhere.
Yes. This is almost like a real production thing.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Like we actually planned something.
That's kind of disturbing.
Yeah. It's a lot of forethought going in.
All right. Let's go to Catherine in Chicago. Hey, Catherine, you're on Mighty House.
Yes, good morning. Squirrels.
Squirrels.
Yeah. Squirrels. Purple those squirrels?
Those nasty creatures. They they keep coming up on my porch and picking on the concrete, and it's like coming off in cakes. I mean, they just climb up the side of the wall outside my back door.
Uh-huh.
And of course, if I have any plants out there, I mean, it's all over the place. Is there any way I could get rid of them or, you know?
Rich's brew.
Well.
Which is brew. Is that what he said?
Yeah, Rich's brew. And so you want to explain what Rich's brew?
Well, you know, I thought you said Rich is brutal.
Oh, well, that's true.
Yeah, that too.
True, but only in the morning.
I know, I didn't mean to say it, but that's what I understood.
Right, that's fine.
What am I getting now?
Okay, go ahead, Rich.
So basically you take a pot of water and you put in there some, a bunch of hot peppers, like habaneros and jalapenos.
A bunch of hot peppers.
Yep.
Yep. And just boil it up and, you know, wear some gloves so you don't, get the oils on your hands. But anyway, boil that up and then just strain it and then put that in a spray bottle and spray that on your porch and stuff.
Okay.
And because they eat with their paws, they don't like all that spice on their paws. They'll stay away. Trust me.
Okay. So now hot peppers and you just boil those up in a pot.
Yep.
Spray them and put it in a spray bottle and spray. How often do you spray? Just...
I would just every once in a while. I mean, you know, if they start coming back, spray it again. But it works on skunks and raccoons and squirrels. And
of course, the people across the street from me also, they keep feeding them as well. And
you should spray them too.
Yeah, thank you. I often... All right. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I love your show, and have a good day.
All right. You too,
thank
Kevin.
You.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
I don't spray your neighbors. That's called mace, you know?
Well, that's what's in mace is peppers. It's just capsaicin.
Yeah. Right. That's exactly it. So don't mace your neighbors. I don't think that's a very friendly thing to do. Just saying.
Sometimes it's not always about being neighborly.
Oh, no?
No.
But that, so you're threatening them with the spray bottle.
I would not disagree with her. I said the for sale sign went up next door yesterday, and it's like the happiest day of my life.
Oh, where you are
if
now.
If you wanted to be really mean, you could just spray their car door handle.
Oh. Just spray their car. And so yeah. then they go.
They don't know where it's coming from. They can't
see, now you can elevate
thing.
That as you go one step worse. You just spray the handle on the men's, John, bathroom door. Nothing
nice.
Worse than that.
Uh-huh. See? The problem is Allison fits right in with us, and that's what's scary. All right,
scares me too.
Well, let's go to Brian. Oh. Hey, Brian, you're on Mighty House.
Yeah, I'm going to use that spray, I think, on some of my colleagues here. Thanks for the suggestion.
Sure, no problem.
That sounds like a familiar voice.
Well,
when
you boil it up, make sure the windows are open. Don't do it with the AC on. Just saying.
Okay, well, sounds good. So that Muckfest is a spectator sport. Do I understand that correctly?
It is. Right now it is, yes, because everybody, the participants have already signed up, and I don't think you can sign up to run anymore.
Good for me.
Yes.
Actually, I do have a legitimate question, though, I think.
Okay.
Last year, I believe it was, we had our asphalt driveway redone, and they were supposed to fill the cracks and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I spent probably a week ahead of time cleaning out all the cracks and getting all the dirt and all that other kind of stuff done. And I don't think they came with enough stuff, either that or this is a pigment of my inebriation.
Okay.
But I've got grass growing back in all the cracks where they supposedly took care of it.
Uh-huh.
So I went out here and I bought some blacktop crack filler, and I'd like your guys' response and daughter's response here on how I should prep the driveway before I start pouring this stuff into the cracks, and something that they might not list on the instructions on the container.
See, my parents don't want me to charge them for advice in person.
So you do.
So they call in.
This is a freebie. Right. It's a workaround.
It's a workaround.
You
yes.
have a consultation fee, right?
Yes.
That's your just a regular consultation
yeah.
fee. I understand.
It's at least one turkey sandwich per advice.
we can't afford her. So.
Well, you know, I end up resealing my driveway. It's a blacktop driveway, and I end up redoing it every year. Because those cracks just come back, the slabs over the winter, those chunks move and they open back up again. So I just reseal it every year, and then that way you can chip out all the loose stuff and then just go over it. And I used to just leave the dirt and everything on there because that just gives it more aggregate and it makes it bond a little bit better. So that's what I used to do, Rich.
I've always used the filler, the crack filler. It's like plastic roof cement.
Right.
And then you tool that so that it's below the surface, you know, force it in there.
Uh-huh.
That seems to work well. And then, cause you don't want the water getting in there. It creates that heaving, makes it worse.
Right.
But then I always use a water-based sealer, and I always mix silica sand with it. And the silica sand would actually give it it would fill all the little holes.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to hold up pretty good about every 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would take the silica sand separate and mix it in with the black top crack filler and then put the mixture itself into the cracks, or do I put the silicon in the cracks first?
No, mix it together, then put it in.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, you do a premix. It gives it an aggregate so that way it makes the filler a little bit, you know, thicker and heavier, and it also helps it bond to things, so...
Yep.
Okay, so it does help the bonding as
yes,
well.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And we got to go to a break. I appreciate the phone call, Brian.
Thanks, Dad.
Okay.
We'll be back right after this. You're listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
still hanging, the sheetrock's still bare. And I know that someday there'll be a bathroom right there. The only time it looks finished is when I turn out the light. I'm missing my remodeler tonight. Well, I can't shave or shower, 'cause the water don't run. Taking baths with a wet wipe just ain't that much fun. My friends all avoid me 'cause I smell pretty ripe. I'm missing my remodeler tonight. Have you forgotten the plans we once made? We were the closest of friends. And have you forgotten the draws that I paid? That was 3 weeks ago, and I ain't seen you since then. I know it was wrong when my wife cussed you out.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net. You can also go to TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GL Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. Coming up at 9:40, we have the Mighty House Greenhouse. It's sponsored by Devon Bank. I've been a Devon Bank customer for over 25 years, and they're great people to work with. They're locally owned, independent, and committed to our communities since 1945. And for more information, go to DevonBank.com. That's DevonBank.com.
So come back to the job site. I'll be waiting.
It's awesome.
With a nail through my foot and dried paint in my ear. I'll just keep a-hoping till your truck pulls inside. I'm missing my remodeler. My wife, could you remodel her? I'm missing my remodeler tonight.
Do you like that one?
It's a touching song.
Yes, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's a nice waltz.
All the forlorn homeowners out there.
Yes. We've got a mess of those. They're really good.
Yes. Yes, they are. Hey, a couple of things. We can do the... You want to go to the...
Yes.
Yes? You want to?
Yeah.
Let's do the...
Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
You always take it to the next level.
You gotta bring it up. All right, you ready for this, Rich?
I am.
You is? Okay. I have a concrete slab floor and concrete block foundation.
Okay.
Following so far?
Yeah.
The house was built in 57 on a filled lot. The concrete slab is separated from the foundation, probably due to the filling settling over the years, ? The cracks are anywhere up to several inches deep to a couple inches wide. Ivy's growing through the cracks and into the house now from outside. The house has a wall-to-wall carpeting probably from when the house was built, and I'm afraid to rip it up knowing what I'll find. I tried to pour cement in about 3 feet of the cracks, but it just crumbled. And now
ignorance
what?
Is not bliss.
So now well, what?
I mean, it sounds to me he... probably right. It's probably from settling, so they've got cracks. But the problem is that it, from his description, they've got some. They're big.
Yes.
You know, a couple inches wide and full depth,
mm-hmm.
where you have ivy growing through. I'd suggest you get a structural engineer out there, and you know, you need an engineering company, somebody that can do a foundation restoration, where they can, you know, either jack it up, they sway brace or tie it,
mm-hmm.
or sometimes they will actually epoxy bolts to it and pull it back together. But quite honestly, the worst thing you can do is pour concrete in there.
Why?
Because now you've got something in there, and if I want to pull the foundation back where it's supposed to be, I got to get all that out of there.
Mm.
You know, so you don't add to it. You got to fix the problem, not the result of the problem. So you need to get under there and jack that footing back up.
Mm-hmm.
So we know guys that can do that. You know, go on the team page there and go to CRC there.
Yeah, CRC Concrete Raising.
So are you talking about like where they show on TV all the time where they jack up the house and then they re-pour the basement?
Well, this sounds like it was a slab on grade, so you can't lift that. You can't pick that house up.
No, but you can jack the footings.
Yes.
I mean, that's the whole point. You can go underneath there and you can pump. Either they use polyurethane foam
or
you can pump it up.
We're going to pump up the house.
Right.
That's right. But you want to do that, you know, like before you start messing with filling cracks. Because what you do is you move it as much as you can. Then you go back and you fill those cracks with epoxies and so on.
Right.
And don't water the ivy.
No. Don't. So there's, if you have a, you know, that the concrete is just poured right on the ground basically with foundation. And then you build your house on it. They do have, if it is like a corner that's falling away, then they can put helicoils down. They drill down, they get to where it's bonded really tight, and they can lift that back up. Right. And they actually put these basically piers in underneath the foundation to hold it. But if it's just normal settling and it's not that bad, that what'd you say about filling then? Then you would fill it with an epoxy?
Yeah, you know, you don't want to use just, epoxies will bond better. The concrete's just a dry, once it cures, it's a cold joint. So you want something that's bonding.
And
that would work.
And you know that those two pieces are always going to continue to move. Mm-hmm. So that's, and you put something in there that's rigid and hard, then it can't it do anything but
yeah.
crack and break down.
Well, except north, you never do slab on grade. It's very unusual because of, obviously, the footing depths because of frost line.
Right.
Where down here, we infill a lot of lots. Because we have to get our first floor lines to 11 feet above sea level. So we haul in sand. And it's a special brown sand. It is, actually. It's more
really?
Structural. Yeah. So we have to do compaction tests and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, we do slab on grade all the time. It's very common here. And
right.
when you read the engineers on the structurals, it says the house is expected to settle 3/4 inch.
Once it's built.
Yes. So it's actually funny, but if I have to have my first floor at 11 foot, we always go 11'1". Because we know it's going to sink. It's designed to sink. But that said, we put a lot more rebar into all the footings and walls than you would up north.
Mm-hmm.
So it's even if it cracks a little, you don't worry about it. It's not going anywhere.
Well, it's not going to come apart. You're not going to get a several inch
wide crack.
So
what are you saying, Rich? What are you saying about Chicago house foundations?
You need to put more, rebar in your concrete.
Well, we don't have seismic issues. We don't, mm-hmm. We're not building sand.
We don't have
fracking. You're going to have them.
Well, yeah, but we're not. They're not doing the fracking around us. There's no oil here, so
no.
Chicagoland area is fairly safe, I think.
Although I think we're on one of the largest fault lines, aren't we?
Yeah,
it's
all right.
It's okay. Yeah. So that part, because we don't have any of those major, we don't have hurricanes coming through, blowing the house down. So.
Right.
We don't build
tornadoes that are twice the speed.
And our political turmoil more than makes up for your hurricanes.
That's right.
So structurally, then, you know, it doesn't. We're just not building the same way up here.
No, and what I'm getting at is not saying you're doing it wrong, but I mean, even my concrete contractor up there, we always put 2 number 5s in the footings
mm-hmm.
and 2 number 5s in the top and bottom of all foundation walls.
Yeah.
And that was just for that reason, because your foundation, concrete, is as big as it's going to be when it's poured, and it gets smaller the rest of its life. As it dries, it shrinks.
It shrinks.
When it shrinks, it cracks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's inevitable. Concrete's going to crack.
Guaranteed.
You have a new driveway, it's going to crack.
Guaranteed.
That's why we put lines in them. Those are control joints. We're trying to control where it cracks. So it's not obvious.
Right.
So right.
That said, that's why the wire and the rebar is so important. When
mm-hmm.
it cracks, this holds it in place.
Boom, done.
That's all. Boom, done. All
right. Thanks, Rich. You're so dreamy.
No, just
talking about your control joints and pumping up houses. And
you're going to?
Yeah, time to pump it up.
Let's see here. You ready for another one?
Sure.
Let me see if I can find this one.
773-763-9278 will end this.
Yes, it will. We have an HVAC question. Are you ready?
Sure.
So we might need to phone a friend on this one. So we'll see. We replaced our central AC and furnace a couple of months ago. I was surprised when the installer showed up and showed us a return he created in the furnace housing. He instructed us to leave it open just a little bit. Our furnace and water heater are near each other in a small room or closet.
Okay.
Both vented into our chimney. Should we be concerned about updraft flue gases or any other issues in this scenario? There's a there's also a small job on our signed proposal, and that wasn't completed. So they've got some other stuff there, and should they call them back to finish this? And is there an issue with having a return vent cut into the plenum inside the furnace room closet right next to the water heater?
Yes.
Let me think.
Okay, you guys go. I get hate when I get technical, so I'll just keep it simple.
Yes.
Call them back.
And call them back to finish. Now, what the guy might have done is actually realize that they do not have enough returns in the house.
Yep.
And he, you know, if you're going to try and push 200 cubic feet of air out, you have to have 200 cubic feet of air coming back.
Right.
So he may have done that to make the furnace and HVAC, or I just say HVAC unit, work more efficiently.
To balance it.
Correct. So he's not wrong for doing it. However, I would be somewhat concerned having it in a small closet with my water heater because you can backdraft then.
Right.
It's possibly unlikely, but, you know, it's not a good idea. If he can duct that out of the room and stick a sleeve through the wall, something like that, much better idea.
Correct. If you can draw it from the living space, then that's safer. You don't want to draw it from the same room where you're getting your combustion air for your water heater and your furnace. And it sounds like both of them are just 80% efficient.
So what's the worry with that, the combustion air with the furnace in there?
Well, let's say,
what's the catastrophic event?
Let's say it's really, really warm outside. The chimney's not drafting very well.
Mm-hmm.
Or you've got open fans on somewhere and the water heater starts to backdraft. So instead of it drafting out the chimney, all those gases are coming into the room.
Hmm.
And now you've got a return vent cut right next to the furnace. So it's drawing all that carbon monoxide into the furnace and then distributing it throughout the house. So then everybody goes sleepy time.
Oh, okay.
Carbon monoxide poisoning, yes.
Yeah. So that's...
Again, probably unlikely.
Yes, but... But
I wouldn't want to be the one to find out.
Right. Yeah, when you find out, it's too late.
Right, I was going to say, you won't ever find out.
Yeah.
That's true, too.
So...
The antique mall sign went up again.
Oh, did it? Okay, good. So I would say... Close that off. If they were balancing the system and they need that return air, duct that into the living space. It'll cost you a little bit more to have them install the ductwork, but get it out so you're drawing air from the living space, not from that furnace room area. And
what did she say? What did it say in the email that they had left unfinished?
There was also a small project that was on the signed proposal, but they didn't do it.
Well,
just call them back and have them come.
Call them back. You might as well have them do both then.
Right. Exactly.
It's always the small stuff that always seems to get by.
Yeah,
and that's what makes it, to me, that's what makes a really good contractor is dealing with that the pain in the butt little details.
Ticky-tack stuff.
Always the end of the projects for me, they just feel like they, you know, it's like you have all this stuff that's going on for months and then right at the end it just feels like you're inching, you know, towards the finish line trying to get everything right.
Yeah,
but that's why checklists and punch lists are so important to keep daily. And then, you know, and like Ron's on the same system I use at the Builder Trend.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do to-dos on that and you can assign those to your subs then and they have to click off. It's really cool. I mean, it's amazing how you keep track of all that little annoying stuff now.
I put a to-do in there because a shingle had slipped off of a job we did a year ago. The shingle came loose. Mm-hmm. All I did was enter it. I didn't even call them. I just entered it on Builder Trend and notified them. I got a text later that day or through Builder Trend letting me know it was all done.
Yeah, he clicked off completed.
Yeah,
he clicks off completed, adds a picture. And then, you know, what we do on our jobs because of the weather down here is we always hit add the weather details.
Yep.
So we know exactly what the weather was that day, too. I've been telling you, show her that at break or whatever. But that's a cool program.
That's
awesome.
All right, here, let's go to Nick in. Ooh, he's ready for lunch. He's in Sandwich. Hey, Nick.
And he's next to Plano,
yay!
Which makes a Plano sandwich.
That's terrible.
Not a sandwich in. Just moved here. We're in a rental. Old farmhouse. We were having some issues with the air conditioner. It wasn't really cooling what we thought it should. And went downstairs, and the copper pipe from the air conditioner outside, the unit outside to the central inside had gotten so cold, and it's been insulated with the pipe insulation before we got here. Mm-hmm. And it got so cold that there's ice chunks forming along it, and then it was dripping water. I was wondering where the water was coming from. Didn't notice it for a couple of days until I realized it was coming from above. I thought it was leaking out of it was forming around the base of the water heater.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my friend told me that it probably just needs to be recharged. It's definitely an old unit.
And you might not have enough airflow through that furnace. Check your filter, make sure you've got enough airflow. Turn it off, let it dry off and clear out. Change the filter. Make sure you've got enough airflow through there that it's actually being able to warm up that coil, because if that coil is going through there, it can ice up if there's not enough air movement across it. Does that make sense? Start with that, and then give us a call back if you still have problems. We can help you out.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks,
all right.
Nick.
We're going to come back right after this with the Mighty House Greenhouse. You are listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return. This is Mighty House with Ron Cowgill. Answering all of your toughest questions about home repair. Get all your answers from the experts. This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. And you can find links to all of those at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for our Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you, too, can give us a call if you have a gardening question right now, 773-763-9278, because our buddy's here.
Hello.
How you doing?
Laura from Reds.
Uh-huh.
Morning, Laura.
Good morning.
You know,
did
what?
You swing I'm by the fields out there and drop off some oxygen for Robbie?
No, I think Ian's got the oxygen tank for her later on. Yeah.
Out there at the Lake County. Yeah. Was it Lake County?
Lake County Fairgrounds.
Oh, yeah, is she all the way up there?
Yeah, she's running that Muck Fest today. That's where she's at. So
she already threw mud in Ian's face this morning.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he deserved it, I'm sure.
No, not Ian.
I know.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
The Mighty House Greenhouse is sponsored by Devon Bank, your home improvement financing experts. They're locally owned, independent, and committed to our community since 1945. They're great people, and I personally recommend that you visit them online at devonbank.com. That's devonbank.com. Okay, hey, Rich.
Yes, sir.
Laura just walks in with bags of dirt now. She's bringing us dirt.
It's an order of protection.
Yes, in honor of Mudfest.
There you go. And, nice tie-in.
And I this afternoon at 2:00, I'm doing a talk at Reds on garden soil and how it.
You're talking dirt?
I'm talking dirt over at Reds. Nice. But I brought in a bag of compost that we made at home.
Uh-huh.
My husband makes it. And just to show you how fabulous it is.
It's still warm.
It's still warm. And it smells wonderful. And
just like the horse manure piles I was telling you about on the farms. We had the manure piles. Those would get nice and warm.
Well, manure is good also. But this is something that we make at home. And it's not very hard to do. We save the kitchen waste from vegetables. I have a little container on the side of the kitchen counter. And when we're cooking, we chop all the green stuff up and put it in there. And that goes into the compost pile along with all the greens from our garden and leaves and brown stuff. And we make this beautiful compost.
Except for the stuff that has the moldy,
diseases,
mildewy stuff.
Actually,
powdery mildew, you don't put that in.
Well,
there.
I do in ours because our pile gets over 160 degrees.
Oh.
Nice.
So it's, yes.
So you can put it in there.
We can put it in there. We usually tell people not to do it because most people don't attend to, their piles don't get as hot as our pile does.
I know the feeling.
Yeah.
It's always good to have a hot pile. Yeah.
Yeah.
You always know when a hot pile is around.
And so,
and I was told never sit on cold concrete because you have hot piles.
Hot is good in this case. So anyway, this is just a sample that I'll be using today at the talk at Red's.
What's the address there?
3460 Dundee Road in Northbrook.
So,
and the talk is at 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Perfect. Robbie can stop by on her way back from Muckfest.
And Ron can make his own sample and bring it.
And, you know, mud is really just destroyed soil.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, again, the tie-in. And but anyway, I would encourage any of you all out there who are avid gardeners and want to get away from using chemicals to start really and to recycle materials from your household and your property to start to consider doing composting.
Instead of throwing all that stuff instead in a bag.
Instead of giving it to people who can compost it for you and then charge you.
To buy it back.
To buy it back. Yes. So there.
That's the enterprise. You just start it, right? You just start your own business, taking people's
garbage.
Well,
you know, we have thought about selling compost. I think I told you once, my husband and I have estimated that we put 10 tons of compost on our property over the last 25 years.
Oh, okay. Wow. I was going to say every year.
Yeah.
Wow,
so our soil is really nice. There's a lot of, it's got a lot good texture. The plants grow well. A lot of earthworms.
And probably don't have any grass.
We do.
Yeah?
We call it a freedom lawn. It's got some grass in there and then it has weeds.
So you have tickets too.
Yes. Yeah. But from a distance, it's beautifully green.
Yeah.
Mm. No, it's like a Monet. No
yeah. Uh-huh. Like yeah. Yes. So, but I did remove some yesterday.
Cool.
Yeah. So
go to the phones?
Go to the phones.
You ready? Here we go. Hey, Dan, you're on Mighty House. Thanks for hanging on.
Top of the morning to you.
Same to you, sir.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hi. Got a question. Actually, I have three questions. Oh. First question is on the. I have evergreens in front of my house, and they're overgrown, way overgrown, and I want to cut them back. The question is, will they grow back? I'm going from 7 feet to maybe 3 or 4 feet.
Ooh.
What kind of evergreens are they?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask that question.
Because the answer makes a difference. I mean, because that makes a difference with the answer.
Isn't the ones with the needles, they don't grow back, but the ones with kind of like the a leafy thing do?
Use.
See, that's a technical
thing.
With the hand motion,
yes.
The like talking hand motion.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Use, which are a typical evergreen. Yeah, use. You all. Our typical evergreen that people have as foundation plantings and things in their on their property, those have buds lower down on the stem, so they have a better chance of growing back. Boxwood and those kinds of things typically don't. You're talking about a pretty drastic maneuver there. So what's gonna if you do something like that, which is I would consider it to be perhaps an experiment. Because, first of all, you're going to have a couple of years where there will be no green at all.
Uh-huh.
And then you may start to see green popping up here and there, depending on how much sun it's getting and water and things. But if it's in the front of your house,
it's going to look pretty nasty.
It's going to look pretty unpleasant for a period of time, if it's successful at all.
If, would there be a way to supplement that? In other words, to... You know, combine that with something else to make it look more pleasing.
Well, you could. You mean like put a tall annual in front of it or something like
green beans grow up the thing.
Oh yeah, or green beans, or actually, One thing, this was my husband's idea, it was a good idea. We had an evergreen that was just had a disease, so I...
Did you record that, Ron?
I
send that over to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I cut out the stuff that was diseased, and then we put a container in there with wave petunias, and so it kind of disguises the big hole in the shrub, and we're hoping that it'll grow back. So you can do things like that. Again, use it as a trellis. That's a great idea. But it's going to take a while if it's you. If it's you.
I think it is you, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. So,
does it
and
have
I
the
wouldn't...
1-inch-long needles that you can poke and they don't hurt you? Or is it a juniper and it has the little tight ones?
What are we talking about?
The needles. No, if it's a yew or a juniper.
Do you know what? If you, Dan, why don't you send a picture of it to me, Laura at redsgardencenter.com.
There you go.
And then I can give you a more exact answer.
On to question number two, fertilizer. I know that's what you're talking about today.
Yeah.
Off the top, I have people that like to walk their dogs, and the dogs like to...
Fertilize your yard?
Yeah, they fertilize pretty much everything. My question is that necessarily bad? Because I guess there's quite a bit of nitrogen in urine, dog urine, or anybody's urine. And I think the bad part of this is highly acidic. So if you offset that with maybe something like lime, calcium carbonate, would that work to my advantage?
Well, the other thing you can try to do, if it's creating, sometimes dog urine creates these brown spots in the lawn because it's so highly concentrated. So one option is to just water it.
Put water in
there. Yeah, to dilute it.
Dilute it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably a better idea than actually going out there and messing around with lime and all that other stuff. I would just go out there and, you know, dilute it a little bit.
Okay, two minutes left, Dan. Last question.
Well, last question is, in general, any type of trimming of the trees and hedges and so on, what's the best time to do that and why?
Trimming of trees especially should be done when they're dormant. And the reason why is because when you trim something, first of all, the response of the plant is to grow back. And you don't want plants at this time of the year especially worrying about growing back versus worrying about making sure that it's got enough food in its root system to let it survive the winter.
So dormant is like in the winter?
Dormant is when they're kind of sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is when plants are actively growing, they're moving fluids from the roots to the leaves. And if you whack off a limb, the fluids, instead of going to the leaves and out, go out where the wound is. It's kind of like bleeding. And that's a big waste, too. So I would wait until the winter.
When the leaves have all dropped?
When the leaves have all dropped.
Then chop it down.
Yeah. And it's also a good time. You know, when some days, like in February especially, it's really nice outside, and it's a good way to get some exercise and go out there and do your pruning then.
And take a picture of it now so you know what ones you want to cut off later.
That's a really good idea.
No, actually, I've done that, and I tag branches, you know, just tie a ribbon around them or you know, a piece of something just so you know what, because you got to shape it, and without the leaves, you can't tell.
That's a really good idea. And the nice thing about pruning when the plant is dormant and the leaves are off is you can really see where there are crossing branches or things growing the wrong direction. And but one thing I will tell you, wear eye protection when you're out there, because I've gotten corneal abrasions with things. Oh, yeah. That's why I wear those weird glasses.
I'm afraid I get stuff in my eyes.
Yeah.
Those aren't weird glasses. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Thank you very much.
Okay, good luck. I wear those glasses all the time.
No,
but not when he's gardening.
Yeah.
No.
But I'm talking. No.
But,
these are not my.
What? But if I'm doing running saws and stuff like that, then I wear safety glasses.
Yeah. Even mowing the lawn, you don't know if something's going to fly up and hit your.
What?
Eye.
This year is the first year that I've been cutting the lawn with my checkbook, and I actually am starting to like it. It's working really, really well. It's something new. I always enjoyed cutting the grass and stuff, but I've been really busy this summer, so I've just been using the checkbook to cut the grass.
It's super efficient.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah. Yeah.
It works really, really well.
It's good exercise.
The only problem is you got to buy a pen.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You go to the bank and steal one.
I'm not like Rich, where I just send my wife out to do it, see?
Right.
It's exercise. Anyway, Laura at Red's Garden Center, stop by and see us, 3460 Dundee Road in Northbrook.
All right, we're going to come back with Mark Klein from Klein Tools, so stay tuned for that. And we're going to check in with Ian and see how Robbie's doing at Muckfest. We'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.